Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear family members of the old Blood River Radio, thank you so much for holding on. We have a great man. He's a pioneer of an absolute pioneer of the movement. He's been around since the 60s, but we're going to let him tell you about it when we come back. But first, Ben has stayed on. The reason he stayed on, he's going to give a plug in for anybody that wants to join the Knights Council, who he's a member of. So go ahead, Ben. Tell them all about it, brother.
Well, folks, like I said earlier in the first hour, I'm a recruiter for the Knights Party. And anyone who would like to be part of the organization, you can go to the Knights Party website at kkknationaloffice.com or write to the Knights Party at P.O. Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We'd love to have you as part of the organization. Stand up, be counted, show America what you are.
Thank you so much, Ben.
I'm going to sign out. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Well, make sure you tell Brother Tom Robb that we you did a good plug for him on Blood River Radio, brother. Our show is on. Thank you so much. See you later. Bye-bye. I'll contact you soon. Bye bye, Ben. That was it. So, Paul, if you will, just for our listeners, we held over. Tom Bowie was gracious enough to come on the fly, super short notice. He came on. Paul is always rock solid, my brother. Speaking of rock solid, he's been around for a long, long time. Give us a good, thorough bio of your career as being an activist, Paul.
Oh, well, it goes back to 1966. I was in the final year of high school, and the schools in the city of Toronto had a model United Nations. Each school would adopt a country, and you'd meet once a week, and you'd have debates just like the real UN. Well, anyway, the annual General Assembly was coming up. It was going to be held at the University of Toronto. So the previous November 11th, 1965, tremendous day for white people. There was the unilateral declaration of independence for Rhodesia. The only time, other than the United States, that a country has broken away from the British Empire. So I thought, well, I'll go down to the meeting of the UN Model Assembly. And I stood up and I said, I represent white independent Rhodesia. They freaked out. They just flipped out. They escorted me out.
Wow.
So they called the school principal. And a couple of days later, I was called to the office, and they said, the priest said, I went to a private school. The priest said, we've had some complaints. You probably shouldn't have done that. And that's all there was. Today, he'd be expelled. In fact, I went on a couple of months later to be the graduating class valedictorian. So, you know, I'm pleased to say I didn't pay a catastrophic price for that the way an activist probably would today. Today, you'd be... that was really my first public political act. I then was a founder of the Edmund Burke Society, which lasted from 67 to 72. And we were a strong anti-communist group. We had a lot of counter-demonstrations. We protested when communist diplomats visited Toronto or Ottawa. We were very, very active. And when the Soviet premier Alexei Kosygin visited Ottawa in the fall of 70, one of our members, who was a refugee from Hungary, ran up behind him, grabbed him, and wrestled him to the ground. Today, he would have been shot. These were different times. Well, of course, in the end, this fellow had to spend a couple of months in prison. In fact, I led a political party then, a social credit party, economic reform. And I was the Ontario party leader, had seven candidates, and one of my candidates was in prison during the election.
Man, you're a wild man, Paul. And that's, you know what's amazing? And this anti-white sentiment was all the way back in 1966. That's almost, let's put that, 76, 86, 96, 06, 16. That's almost 60 years. That's 58 years ago. So there was that much anti-white sentiment there. Was, as you say, Toronto, Paul, even in those days? My God, I know it made that. I knew it did. It was coming into the South here in the United States. But it wasn't quite that hard yet. We were fighting the communists, and they were full speed, you know, Martin Luther King and all this kind of crap coming on. But that is amazing. You never told me that before. Well, continue on, Paul. This is, we got to hear more of that, brother.
Well, you're mentioning the the anti-white sentiment. I have to say, it wasn't so strong then. It was a sympathy for communism or naivety about communism, things like that. But changed its immigration laws in 1965, the same year you did. Changed quite as much. That would be another 9 years. But after 1974, it was open door for non-whites. We replaced our traditional Americans only or mostly policy. And you did, because it was all part of an international push, largely pushed by Jews to dilute our population. It took a few years before it became obvious what was happening, but for the last few years, I've been battling the replacement people. We've been absolutely replaced. A few years back, in 2018, I did a little booklet called the Community Plan.
Paul, we're having a little trouble getting here. Here, you're coming. Are you? Could you? Hey, Lizzie, is there anything he can do to make his transmission a little more clear? Okay. Well, I think it was. Paul, are you close to a window? Is there any way I want people to hear everything you say about this clergy plan. I'm really hot for that. See, you were doing fine for a while, then all of a sudden you started getting really, the transmission was really, really wavy, in and out. So but go ahead, Paul. See if you can, maybe you're waving a wire or something, but continue on, Paul, because I want the people to hear this clergy plan. And I'm keeping in mind, people, Paul edited this book. He created this pamphlet called the Clergy Plan. I want him to tell you all about it. And it deals with white genocide, white replacement, ethnic cleansing, et cetera. But and it's, we're seeing today, Paul, we're seeing that come to fruition. But I'm going to shut up. You go ahead, Paul. Tell us about the Clergy Plan, the book you wrote, and continue on exactly like you were doing, Paul. You're doing great, my brother.
This was the blueprint for the Europe, and by extension, North America. Richard Count Coudenhove Kalergi was an Austrian aristocrat, and product of the marriage of an Austrian nobleman and a Japanese woman. In the early 1920s, who was very well connected socially with the elite of in Europe, wrote a book called, it was in German, but in English, it's Practical Idealism. And what it envisioned was a new Europe. The European man. Now, the new European man was going to be a mixture of black, of African and Asian. And like Kalergi. Kalergi was mixed race, but not African. He was Japanese and European. They mixed race.
Paul, we're having an extreme amount of trouble hearing you. Is there any, we're getting ready to go to our first break. Is there any way you can do, do you think, is there anything you can do to get a better phone connection? Because it's almost impossible to hear you, brother.
Okay. Well, let me, I'm doing it through the car sound. Why don't I turn the car off and see if the phone alone is better?
Okay, will do. Okay. So you sound better then. Okay. Because what I just desperately want people to hear this. It's a good time to do it. It's a good time to work on it during this break.
Better?
This is our first break. So that's much better so far. Thank you, so people. Thank you for holding on. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're so blessed to have Paul Fromm on. You heard him give his bio. I cannot believe the valedictorian of the high school went down there to the big government meeting. I told him he was standing in for Independent Rhodesia, and we said that showed then the extreme anti-white bias. Then I don't know how long they've been going on, probably since the 20s and 30s. But anyway, Paul's going to tell us about this plan put into place. He's going to go over it like one more time because he has better transmission now. But what you're saying, keep in mind, when he tells you about the clergy plan, what we're seeing is the clergy plan is being implemented in Australia, Canada, United States, and all white Western European countries. So go ahead, Paul, start from the beginning, if you will, since you've got better transmission. Tell us all about the clergy plan and anything else you want to talk.
I'll start from the beginning. Richard Count Coudenhove Kerge was an Austrian aristocrat. His father had been a diplomat in Japan, and the father married a Japanese aristocrat, and so Kerge was mixed race. There's a lot about him that is still not very clear, but in 1922, he wrote a book called Praktischer Idealismus, or Practical Idealism. And that book outlined his vision for a new Europe. Be a new Europe without boundaries, without nationalities. Now, that's shocking. There'd be no more Frenchmen, no more Italians, no more Germans, or et cetera. And the new European man, he said,
would be mixed race. He would be part African and part Oriental. Now, that should have been, well, Hitler called him a charlatan and a vagabond. Probably correct.
That's being kind.
That's being kind. Now, that vision should have attracted nobody but psychopaths. But he attracted a lot of money. The Rothschilds gave him 60,000 gold sovereigns, which I guess was an awful lot of money. And he was well connected. He knew diplomats and power brokers. He was a member of the Masonic Lodge in Vienna. And he had a lot of connections. So the way this began to be presented was, well, a gradual union of European countries, maybe knock down some of the custom barriers, maybe make transportation easier. And he attracted a lot of support, people like Winston Churchill, people like Roosevelt. And not too much happened until right after World War II. And then this was the Kalergi plan was now being presented as what would become the European Union. And no talk about immigration yet, just knocking down some of the barriers and some common policies and so on. The European Union gradually became more and more totalitarian, with the things being run from Brussels and Strasbourg and stamping down national standards. But after 1970, which is, I believe, about the time Kalergi died, now it became more obvious that it wasn't just about, you know, better relationships and maybe knocking down some of the barriers. It was now about mass immigration. And Brussels is really ruthless with any country that tries to stop third world immigration, like Hungary and Serbia and so on. Well, and the plan, of course, the long range plan was to replace the white race, or the indigenous population of Europe, because if you're going to have, you know, Kalergi's vision was that the new European man would be mixed race, part African, part Asian. Well, back in 1922, how was that going to happen? There are hardly any non-whites in Europe. Well, the only way would be either invasion or mass immigration. And we got both, but mostly mass immigration. And most of the current leaders of the European Union, like I think her name is Ursula von der Leyen, the former German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Christine Lagarde of the World Bank, they're all the sons and daughters of Kalergi, I mean, spiritually. They welcome the replacement of white people. And of course, the same thing is going on in North America ever since 1965. The immigration policy of Canada changed in 65. The immigration policy of the United States changed with the Immigration Act of 1965. And the gates have been thrown open to the third world ever since. Neither in the U.S. or Canada did it seem too obvious for about 15 or 20 years. But, you know, now, you've got an uncontrolled southern border. And we, in Canada, we let them in by the plane loads. And it's only recently that there's been serious opposition in the United States, mostly headed by Donald Trump.
You know, what we're seeing, you're absolutely right. What was the fellow's name one more time, Paul, that started this back in 1920, let's see, actually over 100 years ago. What was the name?
Yeah, Richard Count Coudenhove Kalergi.
There you go. Okay. Wow, that's a mouthful. Okay. It isn't. What amazes, I know this may be a little rabbit trail. This one amazes me. over 100 years ago. I think you said 1922. That's 102 years ago. He's going to tell a nation, I mean, the world, not a nation, but nations, that he lays out this plan, elaborate plan, and telling people, we're going to get rid of you. We're going to exterminate you, your kids, your grandkids. And they do it. I mean, that is just a most amazing thing to me. And that's probably a rabbit trail. But it almost seems like they almost have to have supernatural power behind them, a.k.a. Satan. I mean, I'm just stunned how they do that. And you mentioned the Rothschilds, and I would like to mention who gave the clergy thousands of, well, maybe millions of dollars in money today, and all this is gold. I'd like to remind people, the Rothschilds are straight up Jews, people. They are the Jewish people. They were behind that, I think, that French Revolution that Tom was talking about earlier, and buying the Bank of England and all kind of crap like that, and the Masonic Lodge, straight up Jew. Now, Paul, you'll probably know more than I do that Churchill, it's been told his mother was Jewish, and Roosevelt had FDR had, he had a Jewish bloodline. I don't know if you know anything about that or not. Is that true, or do you know, Paul?
Yeah, Churchill's mother. Churchill's mother was Jewish, Churchill was a lifelong supporter of Jews. When he first got elected to Parliament, he was elected in a largely Jewish area. I might be wrong here, but I think it was in Manchester, and he was a early supporter of Zionism, that is, to give Jews a homeland in somebody else's homeland.
Yes.
And then he got into financial trouble in the 1930s. He was a gambler. He was not only a heavy drinker, but he was a gambler. And he lost a lot of money. And so Jews in Czech intelligence, Czechoslovak intelligence, bailed him out. So they now really had something on him. He was always sympathetic to Jews and to their issues, but and then he became really loud in promoting war. In fact, Pat Buchanan wrote a book a few years ago about Churchill, and he blamed him for being having a lot of responsibility for the First and Second World War. Churchill was a great warmonger, and I don't know, it may be a side issue, but World War II didn't have to happen. It's nonsense. Hitler didn't want to conquer the world. He didn't even have the means to conquer the Soviet Union, it turned out. He had an issue with Poland about the persecution of a German minority. The Versailles Treaty had carved up Europe, and it had trapped a German minority in Poland. Hitler wanted was to free them, and the Polish government was really intransigent. And France and England were egging Poland on and saying, "Well, if you get into trouble, we'll go to war," which is crazy. I mean, it's as crazy, in my opinion, as our meddling in the Middle East or in Ukraine. Anyway, Churchill was a huge warmonger, and
we got to go to a quick break. But before I say go, you know, have we always hear what Hitler invaded Germany? We got to start a war. Well, how about the Soviet Union? Invaded Poland. Stalin did the same thing. Be right back, folks.
The land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. hope is dead.
From Focus Features comes the electrifying new film, Conclave.
We're about to choose the most famous man in the world.
Based on the international best-selling thriller,
the Pope discovered something before he died.
Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci.
Ambition becomes corruption.
Dawn Lithgow and Isabella Rossellini.
We sisters have eyes and ears.
Top critics are raving. Conclave is hands down the best picture of the year.
I have to find the truth.
Conclave, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing only in theaters.
What are you going to do if Kamala wins? Moving to gold now is an option. At Premier Gold, we specialize in helping those with a 401k or other types of retirement accounts convert their vulnerable paper assets into physical gold. Today, we'd like to send you a free gold election kit to help you decide if this is right for you. Call 606-800-8000. Premier Gold is not a financial advisor. Please consult with your advisor before investing. Call 606-800-8000.
Cuba's power losses leaving 10 million people without power this month, and officials say it could have been prevented.
Several experts say the blackouts wouldn't have happened if the government had built out more solar power to boost its failing electric grid as promised. In a nation with plentiful sunshine, Cuban officials have long had the opportunity to encourage solar power as one solution to national energy problems. But October's sweeping outages, the island's worst power failure in years, show little progress has been made.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Now, Cuba has committed to 37% renewable energy by 2030. The Biden administration now seeking information about the state of competition in air travel, saying it wants to learn more about mergers and joint ventures between airlines and what it calls anti-competitive behavior. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Now, the FBI says Russian actors making a fake election disinformation video seen on social media.
The video had taken off on social media on Thursday, but was debunked within 3 hours by local election officials and law enforcement after members of the public reported it. Officials said the fake is part of a broader effort to raise doubts about the integrity of the election and to stoke divisions.
That is correspondent Norman Hall reporting. The FBI also warns U.S. intelligence officials expect Russia will create and release additional media content seeking to undermine trust in the integrity of the election. Pakistani police say a suicide attack at a checkpoint, killing 4 security personnel, wounding 5 more. No immediate claim of responsibility for that car bombing. However, authorities say it is likely to fall on the Pakistani Taliban. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio, this program we put together on the fly has turned out to be so, it's just dynamite in my opinion. You know, we were talking about the clergy plan, and Paul went into detail and told you in infinite detail who did it and why they did it. Well, now Paul's going to come back and he's going to give you an example in real time that he experienced out in the boonies in Western Canada with how the clergy plan is being put into action. Go ahead, Paul. Tell us all about that, brother.
Well, yeah, I was going to drive, you know, three quarters of the way across Canada. I had inherited a car in the interior of British Columbia and was going to drive the car along with some household goods, etc., plus my stuff for meetings, and I was going to do four meetings across the country. Okay, I got as far as Kelowna, British Columbia, and I had serious engine problems. And I had to get a moving van. That was the only thing.
That's like my luck.
Yeah, that's not rent a car to go one way. And I ended up with this extremely expensive U-Haul minivan. But anyway, it was a real beast to drive, and a terror, like in parking lots or in towns. Not too bad on the open highway. You just pointed down the road and, you know, watch your mirrors and so on. But, well, anyway, that's not the point of the story. I probably stopped in, I would say, 15 Tim Hortons. Now, Tim Hortons is a very popular Canadian coffee and donut shop. They're practically on every corner right across the country. So coming across the Trans-Canada Highway, every 2 hours or so, I might find a Tim Hortons, pull in for a coffee and donut, or at least a coffee. In all but three of the 15, the staff was non-white. With one exception, they were East Indians. The other, they were Filipinos. So only three of the 15 I stopped in were manned by white people. Now, you've got to understand, this is in almost all white southern Alberta, southern Saskatchewan, southern Manitoba, and then across the Great Lakes, you know, Lake Superior, Georgian Bay, etc. All the areas are almost entirely white, with the exception of a small Native Indian population. Yeah, but you go into these places, the staff was all East Indian. It was incredibly depressing, and clear cut proof we are being replaced. But where are we? And there was the same on the service desk at the hotels. Every hotel I stayed in. I think there would be five. Every hotel on the front desk, it was East Indians or in one case black, and many of these people were utterly incompetent. They had just come off the plane. A lot of these hotels, they have a little what they call it, a business center, but it's really just a computer and a printer and some paper. Well, one of them, I'm trying to spend a map quest for the journey to the next city. I can't even get into the computer. The sign says it needs some sort of driver. And I went to the front desk and talked to the East Indian there. I said, this service center computer seems to need a driver. Oh, he says, I don't know anything. I'm new. Everything is third world standards, like backward, useless. Another hotel, same scenario, only the computer works, but the printer's out of ink. So I go to the Negro. The Negro on the counter. I said, he's actually an African. I said, the office center, business center printer doesn't have any ink. I'm new. Well, can't you look? Could I print it off on your computer? Or your refrigerator? We didn't have that. I mean, I can see my country deteriorating before my eyes. And, you know, it infuriates me. On my mother's side, we've been here for 350 years. My mother's family were among the first, you know, couple of generations of French settlers in Quebec. I mean, this land is our land, and it's being given away by treason. And there's no good word for it. I mean, no polite word for it. It's treason.
You could not be more right. You are absolutely right. You know, Paul, the same thing you just described, you see here in the U.S., especially anywhere in America, in the South. It doesn't matter if you go to a coffee shop, if you go to a restaurant. We used to call them filling stations to get your car filled, especially any government job, federal government, state, city, county, and de facto government jobs like Memphis Light Gas and Water Company. They're all black. I cannot tell you when the last time I saw a white worker in the United States Postal Service here in Memphis, Tennessee. So, Tom, you've been hanging on patiently, brother. You've taken all this conversation in. What do you think about it, and what is the solution, Tom? Go ahead, Tom. You've been waiting on patiently. Thank you so much.
The solution is basically right now, we've been prohibited to a large extent from talking about the problem. If you can't really rationally and fully talk about the problem, you're not going to be able to come up with a rational solution. But they're not silencing us. We're talking, we're speaking, and we're not going to be quiet about it. And as for how far the country has gone, the United States is a big country, and they can hide a lot of diversity. And what I have found out is they have. Besides the fact that these cities that house millions of people, most of them diverse. Joe Biden gave a speech one time where he said that there would be an unending stream of migrants. And in it, he said, white people are already a minority. Well, he has access to information we don't have. I got looking around on the internet. The general demographics of white Americans by that is 62 to 63. But there is another entrance from the 2017 on our demographics, and it specified white of European extraction. The other whites would come from places like the Middle East and all sorts of places, as well as people who self-identify as white. And in 2017, white of European extraction was 41%.
Wow.
That's shocking.
That is shocking. Well, let me ask you gentlemen a question. We're just days away from an election. We have one super Jew. He cannot do enough for the Jews and for Israel. And that's Donald Trump. He is really kissing their rear, for no better way of explaining that. I mean, anything they want, he's going to give them. He's even said he wants to. He would bomb the nuclear plants in Iran. And he also made the statement, which is kind of alarming. He said that when he gets elected president, he's going to get rid of the anti-Semites and the Jew haters. That would be people like Blood River Radio. Kamala has also made statements that she's going to start shutting down freedom of speech, media. So my question first, Tom, and then we'll go back to Paul. Blood River Radio, if I can continue to do this a year after election, will I be behind bars in prison? Are they going to come down that hard, Tom?
If they start doing that, I'm reminded of what Solzhenitsyn said in his books, The Gulag Archipelago. He said, that how they burned in the camps at night, realized that when they came for them, they had nothing left to lose. Those people they came for tried to think of ways to kill themselves because of how bad the camps they were put in, and that it could have ground the instruments to a halt if people would have used whatever means at their disposal. Well, America's a real explosive place. There's so much artillery out there that they give lip service taking it, but they can't.
We'll go to Paul as soon as we come back for this, our final break of this hour. We'll be right back, folks. Nope.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio, this has been one hell of a program. We've got some great people on here. Well, I'm going to basically kind of ask Paul the same question that I asked Tom, but Tom really responded well. Paul, when Trump gets elected, if he gets elected, and he's already said that he's going to deal with the anti-Semites and Jew haters. The only way I can take that, to extend that, he's going to get rid of people, free speech areas, like, because no one is going to be considered more anti-Semitic than Blood River Radio. And you, Paul, would be considered anti-Semitic here. If Kamala gets in, she's already made it clear that she's going to start coming down on free speech. She said they're going to go door to door, confiscating firearms. So, Paul, after... I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, Trump may be the most to fear. I don't know. After the election, Paul, how much will Blood River Radio have to shut down? And are they going to try to put me in jail?
Oh, you know, I'm a contrarian. I really believe that at heart, Trump is a libertarian. Now, he has made his deal with the devil, with the Jews, for years. I mean, he grew up in New York City. He was a developer there, it'd be impossible not to have relations with them. But I suspect he will do something to try to end the present conflict in the Middle East, and that will then take pressure off him in terms of dealing with anti-Semitism. He can't do it without trampling the First Amendment. And frankly, maybe I'm wrong. You're closer to it than I am. I don't see him doing that because a lot of his base are very libertarian. You know, the idea of shutting down radio I just don't see it happening under him. Kamala, yeah. A lot of her backers, like I heard Hillary Clinton recently, and he's your big environmental guy, he was a presidential candidate too for the Democrats. But he was saying, really, in some ways, the First Amendment has to go. There's just too much disinformation. What was his name? But
Perry
from Massachusetts.
Oh yes, Senator Perry. Kerry, Senator Kerry.
Yeah. Kerry.
Maybe
right out to lunch. I don't think Trump will crack down on free speech. He might be more law and order in terms of these people, these Palestinians that have been, damaging buildings and rioting. But in terms of speech, I don't think so. I think the danger would be from Kamala, and in Canada, from our own prime minister, who's very, very unpopular. But I expect you will be here in a year's time, and Blood River Radio will be bigger and better than ever, in my opinion.
Well, I hope the hell so. You know, that speech you talked about, that John Kerry, I believe, I think he gave that talk. I don't know if it was the World Economic Forum or it was some type of, maybe it was the BRICS conference they had. They had one in Russia last week. I believe they had the BRICS conference in China. They had a World Economic Forum meeting in China, communist China. I believe that's where he made that statement. He said that, you're exactly right. He said at one time we had referees, refereeing media to make sure that the misinformation didn't get out there. What he was talking about was control media. He was complaining about the internet. Every time Dick and Harry can have a podcast, every time Dick and Harry can get on there and voice their approval or disapproval of the government, you're exactly right. He wants to get rid of free speech, all right. But, now going back to you, Tom, I almost forgot where I was going to ask you. Okay, Tom, if President Trump gets into office, I remember a time back fairly early on, or maybe the year before the election, before he lost the election, there was like a million-man march coming to Washington, D.C. They were burning statues of Trump in effigy. They were saying they were going to get him. They were going to lynch him. I mean, they were not couching. They were not hiding their intentions whatsoever. I'm coming to a point. He called out the 82nd Airborne Division from Fort Bragg and thousands of National Guard troops. Well, General Milley was the chief of staff then, and he sent the 82nd back to Fort Bragg and disarmed the National Guard. To me, Tom and Paul, that was a total act of treason. The President of the United States and the Constitution is the supreme commander over the military. I don't know why Trump did not go to the commandant in the Marine Corps and say, "You are to rest, Mark Milley." And you're going to put those troops back in Washington, D.C. to protect the president. Okay, Tom, my question is to you. If Trump gets reelected again, is he going to realize that he lost control? He had these traitors in the military. Is he going to do what it takes to get, even if he has to go to the lower, I'll say, field grade officers, Lieutenant Colonel below, is he going to get control of the military and take his rightful position as the supreme commander, or is he going to bow down to these clowns like General Milley? What's going to go on with that? What's he going to do with the military this time, Tom?
Well, in general, I have to take a huge leap of faith for me to actually believe Trump would try and buck the system. But if I take that leap, I then have to ask myself, what will his vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, do? Because, you know, how many so-called attempts on Trump's life has it been? When professionals line up to do it, it's 100% done deal. We haven't seen that. So I have to base my answer on, if he goes to do that, will Vance fall into line and do as he's told? I'm 100% sure he would.
Here's another thing. This wonderful Vance, you know, he's a big supporter. The guy who got him where he is a billionaire Jew, of course, a billionaire Jew homosexual who is one of the co-founders of PayPal. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I'm not from the PayPal. I got purged from PayPal a few months after Charlottesville. I think a list was circulated of bad guys. Now, I had nothing to do with Charlottesville. I wasn't in Charlottesville or anything like that. But there's a list circulated, and all sorts of people, patriots, suddenly found themselves purged. I was purged for conduct that violated their standards. I don't know what. I mean, I bought very few things and sold very few things, all of it really minor. I have a slightly different take. I think Trump did not fully understand how evil and how deep the deep state is. But he found out in his first term. There are a lot of people he couldn't trust. Look at the military people who have betrayed him or denounced him. There was a denunciation just the other day. I forget the man's name, but he had served as his chief of staff for a bit. And he said that Trump was something like an admirer of Hitler. And well, of course, that's enough to set off the media. I think Trump tried immigration reform, and he had some success. He was undermined and subverted. I think he's going to come back, and it's like that cartoon, I'm back, and this time no Mr. Nice Guy. I think he knows he's got to go through some of the senior service with a chainsaw. And he's also, of course, being absolutely screwed over by the elite. I mean, this endless lawfare to try to ruin him or to jail him. I think he has a much better idea what he's up against, and I think he will. I think he will crack down. I think he'll try to. I certainly hope he gets the chance, and you know, because he may be the last best hope for America. And yeah, I know he's a Zionist, and that's one part I don't like about him. But I don't see Kamala as anything but a disaster. And she's another shapeshifter, you know. She's only a quarter black. And you can tell by looking at her. She's not that's not a Negress looking at you. She's on her mother's side, she's East Indian. On her father's side, she's part black and part white. I think her father was mixed race. And he's a Marxist.
Sounds like clergy.
Well, so. Yeah,
Well, Paul and Tom, what an amazing hour. We've run completely out of time. That's for sure. I was going to just mention that we used to have a guy named Ike Baker came over here. He wrote, he was in the Marine Corps. He submitted a story to the Stars and Stripes that said, when do we shoot the colonels? Because he had the colonels up on up were politicians in the military. I think he may have been onto something. Well, dear Blood River Radio people, thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. We'll see you pretty soon. We may have to record this program. Check with you later, folks. Good night, everyone.